Hello and welcome to Cricket Info Talk. I'm Andrew McGlashan and I'm joined, as usual, by Michael Holding at the end of what's been another extraordinary day in this series, but this time for all the wrong reasons. The second test at North Sound, the Sir Vivian Richards Stadium, has been abandoned after just 10 balls because of a dangerous outfield. Can you believe what we've seen today?
Well, it's unfortunate, Andrew, but I can say that I am totally surprised of what has taken place. Not specifically because it's this particular stadium, but just because we have seen things like this happen in the Caribbean before. And I don't suspect that this will be the last time, because whenever we have things like this happening, as what happened in 98 when the test match in Jamaica was abandoned, there were no repercussions. And I suspect there will be no repercussions to this one either. No one will lose their jobs. No one will be asked to resign. If you ask any of the people responsible if they are going to resign, they'll just simply say to you, why? Why should we resign, or why should I resign? So it will happen again, because once you have no repercussions, you'd always have in repeats.
So you say you don't think anyone will resign, but do they not therefore feel hurt by the fact that their home test match has just become the laughing stock of world cricket today? Will that not hit home for them?
It will hit home for them, Andrew, but for the next 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, everyone will just move on. That is the way things operate around here when people have no repercussion, when people don't suffer for their mistakes or you could say their incompetence. If you don't suffer for your incompetence, everything moves on. If you have a flame and you tell your child, don't put your finger in the flame, and when the child puts his finger in the flame, it doesn't get burnt. It's going to put its finger back in the flame. If it gets burnt, it won't. And that is what happens with our cricket. Whenever anything goes wrong, no one suffers.
So do you think that really anyone knows who should take responsibility for this, whether it should be the WICB, the ACA, the fact that this ground has had problems before and it's only 2 years old, yet it's had outfield problems, drainage problems? Who at the end of the day should take responsibility for this?
Well, ultimately, it's the West Indies Cricket Board. The West Indies Cricket Board run cricket in the Caribbean. But cricket in the Caribbean, I suppose, can be considered a little bit different from cricket in a lot of other parts of the world, in that all the islands are sovereign nations. All the islands have their own anthem, their own flag, their own governments, their own currency, and all of them believe that, okay, this test match belongs to me. I am in charge of this test match, whichever island it is in, and I am preparing everything, I am doing everything for this test match. The West Indies Cricket Board sometimes are a bit loath in actually sending people from outside the island to say, let me check up on this island, let me check up on this facility to see if it is up to scratch, because of the politics in the region. But the West Indies Cricket Board have to start getting away from that. It doesn't matter whose toe they are stepping on, whose corn they are crunching. They have got to make sure that wherever matches are being played, the facilities are up to scratch. They can no longer sit back and say, oh, it's the Antigua Cricket Association responsibility, the Jamaica Cricket Board responsibility, the Barbados Cricket Association responsibility. It is the West Indies Cricket Board's responsibility. It is time for them to stop thinking about whose toes they are stepping on and be responsible for our cricket and get whatever has to be done.
And this is a collection of nations that hosted the World Cup just 2 years ago. Next year is hosting a 2020 World Cup. Now, I know, Anthony, you haven't bid for games, but other islands have. I mean, this doesn't do much for the reputation of Caribbean cricket to the wider world, does it?
It doesn't. And, you know, I think the West Indies as a region should sit down and say to themselves, hey, this is giving us a bad name. When you have people coming to a venue like this, for instance, or even in Jamaica, and what happened in Jamaica and what has happened here happened, and yet you don't have people who have come to these games getting angry and looking to sue people. And you can look at it in two ways, Andrew. You can say, okay, these people love West Indies, they love the Caribbean cricket, they don't want to do it in any harm, so they won't do something like that. Or perhaps they just say, it's the norm, it has now become the norm, so why get upset? This is a third world region, you know, and we should be ashamed of that. If that is the reason, we should be ashamed of that and think that we need to do something better.
Let's just go back to what caused all this problem, the outfield, the sandy outfield. As a former fast bowler who came in off a very long run, did you, when you first saw the outfield, think that we were in for trouble in this game?
Definitely. The first time I went to the ground was this morning, the morning of the test match, because I had heard so many people had gone down there and were criticizing it and thought, this isn't up to scratch. And when I went down there and went out onto the field, as a matter of fact, before I even got to the field, somebody that's associated to the Antigua Cricket Association, who is associated with the preparation of the pitch, stopped me and said, Mikey, I am so embarrassed. And I said, what? Is the pitch okay? He said, I'm not talking about the pitch, I'm talking about the outfield. I said, well, let me go out there and see. And as I stepped onto it, I knew exactly what was happening. It was just all sand. Sand underneath the grass. It was as if they had taken grass and planted it on a beach. And that will never work. Jerome Taylor came to me before the toss had been spun, anything. He asked me something about Kevin Peterson, yes. But he also asked me about the outfield. How is he going to deal with this? And my advice to him was, Jerome, all I can tell you is do not fight it. If you are fighting against sand, you will come off worse because your legs are going to get tired. Try as much as you possibly can to try and float over the surface because that was what he had to deal with. I said to him, I know you're not prepared for this, but try and just float. Try not to sink into it too deep. And that is a ridiculous thing to be telling a fast bowler. When you're running into bowl, you're looking to run in and really power in and to be, you know, at top pace when you get to the crease to deliver the ball. You can't be tippy-toeing going into the crease. But that is, as we saw, a few balls over the wicket, he thought, let me try around the wicket, see if that is firmer. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
In the short term, they've relocated the test, which now becomes the third test to the ARG ground in St John's starting on Sunday. Do you think that's a sensible move? Do you think the ground hasn't had a test match since 2006? Do you think the ground will be up to standard?
Well, I don't know if the ground will be up to standard. I would assume that the people who went to the ground to do the assessment would know if it was up to standard or not. I don't think they would go there and say, well, this is the only alternative. We have to play it here. I would hope that when they went to the ground, they thought to themselves, well, perhaps it's not 100% what we would like, but it is acceptable. Because they have to get a test match played. All the people that have travelled from various parts of the world, mostly from England, of course, I'm sure a lot of West Indians would have come down from the United States to watch the game, they deserve to get some cricket. So I'm sure they'll try their best to play at ARG, but I would also hope that they are confident that everything will be fine for a test match at ARG.
And finally, Mikey, do you think there's a future for the Vivian Richards Stadium as an international venue?
I think there is. If they can get the outfield, you know, what it should be, I don't think they will have a problem. As far as I'm concerned, that venue looks beautiful. You know, just the architecture of the venue and the way they have the slope and the grass, the area, and I think it is a beautiful-looking venue. It might not be ideal for Antigua because the Antigua population is only 70,000 and the venue holds something like 30,000. So you're asking half the population to turn up for a game. It might not be ideal for Antigua, but you'll always get visitors. And again, it might not be ideal because it's so far out of town. But you spend all that money on a venue. Get it right. There's no point wasting all that money. Get it right so that it can be used.
Well, this is a day that will go down in history as the shortest test match of all time. The action restarts, we hope, on Sunday. And we'll speak to Mikey again, hopefully with some cricket to talk about.